I got a knock-knock joke.
No.
Okay.
God.
Michael, please, 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 please. Please let me.
All right.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
KGB.
KGB?
Viva us the questions!
What the hell was that?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Hey, hey! Stop it! Stop it!
Hey,
come on! What are you doing? Mine is part of a hilarious joke!
Mine was retribution! What are you doing? No more knock-knock jokes!
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you with a bonus episode for all the roster decisions the Giants made on Sunday. Before we get into all the news, we got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, follow me on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, on Spotify. If we're not on your favorite podcast app, you let me know. And I promise I will get it on there so that you guys can listen wherever, whenever. Weiss, happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day, Ethan. Glad we weren't a part of the roster cuts because it seems like everyone was.
Yeah. it's true. And feel like if we had just waited, I think we're going to be bringing you guys another episode on Wednesday to preview the season opener against Jacksonville. But if we had lumped everything together, it would have been a five-hour episode. So wanted to take some time out of our nice Labor Day afternoons to record a little extra episode for you guys and give our thoughts on some of the questionable, some of the good, some of the bad that Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur made on Sunday. So where do you want to start? I have some notes that are all over the place. I think the place that most people would want us to start is with the obvious, and that is quarterback Davis Webb, former third-round pick, the man, the myth, the shorts, who got released by the Giants. We could start there. I have a lot of thoughts on this, including the fact that I believe the Giants handled the situation very poorly from a number of different perspectives. But I think,
really?
Yes, I do. And I think the most appropriate place to start would be, ha ha, I told you so, to everyone who thought that Davis Webb was the future.
Yeah. I mean, that is just, I laughed. Listen, I didn't laugh that Davis Webb got cut. I laughed at the people who shouted and screamed and said, you know, basically talked themselves into believing that Davis Webb was the future without any ounce of, you know, evidence to back that claim.
Right.
And I laughed at that. I laughed at those people.
Now, here's the difference is that, do I like Kyle Lauletta more than Davis Webb? Yes, I do. But you don't see me running around the Twitter sphere and the internet, like, or standing in Times Square like a crazy Jesus person with a sign that says that Lauletta is the future, because we have not a fucking clue. We have no clue. All we can judge on is college tape and preseason tape, because that's all we have. That's it. I don't care how good they look in shorts. There's just no evidence.
Well, I don't care who they follow in the locker room, and who they sit with at the table. I don't care about that. You know, what matters is actual snaps and actual, you know, film of quality snaps from a quarterback that you can learn of. And then you factor in the traits that he brings to the table. And with Davis Webb, his traits were he's tall and he has a big arm. And that's about it. And that's what everyone was going by. And clearly, Pat Shurmur, Dave Gettleman were smart enough to realize that, you know, what he brings to the table is not enough. And they made a decision that, you know, I believe was the best one, or was the smarter one, and that was to go with Lauletta over Webb. And so people will talk about, well, you know, they'll factor in the Alex Taney versus Davis Webb thing. And what I say to that is Davis Webb better than Alex Taney? Probably, yes, you can make a case. It could not be better. I mean, we just don't know that much about Davis Webb, and you know, we don't know that yet. Now, people say yes, some people say no, but what I say to you is that the Giants went with Kyle Laletta, and they're going to put all their resources and all their, you know, time and effort into developing him instead of having two young quarterbacks and having to work with both of them, because I think both of them have different skill sets and both of them have different weaknesses.
Now, now here's my issue with, or one of my issues with how they handled the situation, right? And this has been the case with the Giants for over 10 years, pretty much. And it's that if Eli Manning goes down with an injury, the Giants are fucked regardless.
They were screwed regardless if Davis Webb was here or not.
Right, but that goes to the point. If you're, and this is why you can't make the argument that the Giants kept the best 53, because they didn't. John Stewart's still on the roster. Alex Tanney is still on the roster. If you're fucked regardless of whether or not, you know, Eli, if Eli goes down, you're done. You're out. That's the way it's been for years. What's the point of keeping a guy like Alex Tanney on the roster and, you know, not just trying to sneak some quarterback onto the practice squad? Because, you know, at the end of the day, you got two young guys in Webb and Laletta. There's not going to be enough snaps in practice to go around to fully develop either of them throughout the course of a season, which is why, fine, if you're going to release Davis Webb, I'm totally fine with that. I never thought he was the quarterback of the future, and if Pat Shurmur believes that Laletta's his guy, Laletta's his guy. But I just don't understand wasting the roster spot on Alex Tanney if you're screwed regardless of whether or not Eli goes down, because there's going to be guys probably better than Alex Tanney that are going to be available as free agents throughout the course of a season if, God forbid, Eli was to go down with an injury and Laletta was thrust into the starting position, right? You know, there's going to be guys out there. So, one, I don't understand wasting the spot, the roster spot on Alex Tanney. And two, I appreciate that the Giants tried to trade Davis Webb and get some value out of him. But the way they went about it was completely ass backwards. And shout out to loyal listener Will, who texted me his analogy for the situation. The Giants basically were like me a month ago. They showed up to negotiate for an apartment, but then also told the real estate agent they needed a place to live in 15 minutes, right? Everyone and their mother knew the Giants weren't going to keep four quarterbacks on the roster. So I don't know what they were expecting in the trade market for a guy like Davis Webb when, you know, teams are trading fifth and sixth round picks for, honestly, quarterbacks that are more serviceable than Davis Webb is. So don't know what they were expecting by keeping four and trying to execute a trade. Don't understand what they're doing by keeping Alex Tanney on the roster. I think that's just an enormous waste of a spot. At the end of the day, glad that Davis Webb's gone. You know, the Jerry Reese third round pick curse lives on. And, you know, this is going to be one of the many players that we discuss throughout the course of this episode that is, you know, obviously Davis Webb was cut for a myriad of reasons. But, you know, there were some guys who were just cut because, hey, you were a Jerry Reese guy and we're sort of cleaning house. So, you know, they're either very confident that they can develop Laletta to start in the near future. I hate to say it, but there's a chance that maybe they extend Eli, or they plan on being bad enough next year or the year after that where they're in a good position to draft the quarterback. That is what the quarterback moves the Giants made this offseason dictate to me. And that goes from the draft all the way up until yesterday with the decision about Davis Webb.
Couple things. I think they handled it from the moment Pat Shurmur was hired to now, right? To yesterday.
Yep.
When Pat Shurmur came in, there was a lot of people took it as he's here to not only win now with Eli, but he's here to develop Davis Webb, the young quarterback, right? Which was Davis Webb at the time.
Sure.
Then they drafted Kyle Laletta, and everyone's like, "Wait, why is Kyle Laletta here? We have Davis Webb. What was the point of using it?" And I basically told people, "Well, you know, the Giants, you know, while, you know, I said that maybe they shouldn't use another late round pick, I get why they did, because, you know, you got to keep bringing the quarterback. You got to keep moving the quarterback room. You got to, you know, got to get new faces. Exactly. You got to keep swinging for the fences. And, you know, maybe, you know, you get one. And, you know, the quarterback position is the most important position in football. Look, you never know. Sometimes you might strike gold. Now, when they got Kyle Laletta, what we failed to realize was, you know, they're not sold on Davis Webb. You know, Kyle Uletta, the drafting of Kyle Uletta was more so of, you know, hey, we're not sold on Davis Webb, and Davis Webb is not a lock to make the 53-man roster.
Right.
We all assume he was because he was a third-round pick, and, you know, there was so much talk of him being the reason as to why the Giants might not take a quarterback with the number two pick. That was wrong. And we were all wrong on that. Well, a lot of people that believe that were wrong on that. Now, come preseason, everyone's talking about, well, why did Davis Webb get all the second-team reps? I think the Giants gave Davis Webb every opportunity without impacting Eli Manning's preparation, because this is a new system for Eli as well, to sort of prove to them that he can be not only a reliable backup, but he can be someone that they can develop. More so that someone that they can develop, because I think they could have found a quality backup somewhere else.
Sure.
Now, here's the thing. He didn't prove that. Not to them. He didn't prove it to me. I mean, a lot of people look at the Detroit game and say, well, there you go. That was the game. But if you look at the first preseason game against Cleveland and that third preseason game against the Jets where he came in, I think, in the second half, Davis Webb didn't look too good. He didn't look good at all. So, you know, what the Giants did was they said, you know, we're going to go with our guy, as they have every right to do. And in regards to the third-round pick, I keep trying to tell people this, is that regardless where the person was drafted, that doesn't matter to Dave Gettleman or Pat Shurmur. Why? Because that wasn't their third-round pick. That wasn't their fourth-round pick. That wasn't their fifth-round pick. So, you know, the Giants went with the guy that they went with their guy. And regards to Alex Taney versus Davis Webb, I go back to my point of they want to allocate all their resources to Kyle Uletta. And have if they would have kept Davis Webb, they don't feel like Uletta would get all that information. And because of that, they decided to do something that they, if they didn't do this year, they probably would have done after the season. And the fact of the matter is Davis Webb never fit what Pat Shurmur was looking for. And the Giants, this Giants regime, didn't have any connection, any investment in him. So that's just the reality of the situation.
My another, I guess, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out the best way to put this. I mean, you know, I'm not upset that Davis Webb is gone. Far from it, right? Mm-hmm. I think my issue stems more from the fact that I either don't think the Giants have any clue what they're actually doing in regards to the future of the quarterback position, or they legitimately believe that Eli has at least 3 to 4 years left before he retires.
That's what they believe.
That's lunacy, because they evaluated 4 top 10 quarterbacks, 5 first-round quarterbacks in this past draft, right? Mayfield, Darnold, Allen, Rosen, Jackson, and granted, Mayfield was gone, but he wasn't going to be their guy anyway. They didn't think that any of those guys were potential franchise quarterbacks. Now, you and I both disagree with that, right? So they skipped over all of those guys for a competition between one guy who wasn't even good enough to beat out Geno Smith at the end of last season. And a fourth round pick. And historically, those middle to late round quarterbacks have a much lower percentage chance of working out. So just remember this. Don't be shocked if the Giants decide to extend Eli Manning to reduce his cap hit, and because they legitimately believe that he can play for 3 to 4 more years.
I think.
Do not be surprised.
I think unless this team is picking in a position where
top
they
five
could grab top 5, top 10. I think there's a very, and I don't even think that would indicate to me that they would move on from Eli. I think it would have to be something where either A, Eli Manning retires after the season, or B, he's so bad that you have to, like, he's so bad that it's almost as though we have to go in a different direction.
Right.
And those two, it has to be one of those two things for the Giants to move on from Eli. I think they are going to extend him after the season. Now, I don't think they're going to be picking in the top 10 next year. Many people will argue they will. I don't think they will. I think, you know, we'll talk about
in the 13 to 18
next,
range.
We'll talk about where they're going to finish on the next episode, but you know, I think that the Giants will extend Eli Manning after the season. And they're all, when I say all of them, I think John Mara, Pat Shurmur, Dave Gettleman, and others in that organization genuinely believe that Eli Manning can play for at least 3 more years. I'll say they genuinely believe that Eli can play another 2 to 4 years. As crazy as that may sound, and as asinine as it may sound, that is what they believe. So they are going to allocate resources to helping build a roster around Eli so he can win, so he can help them win.
Yep.
Should they have – I will – listen, the
Don't
Giants –
don't know what salary cap they're, salary cap they're going to use to do that, but best of luck to them.
Right. Now, listen, the Giants should have taken a quarterback. They didn't, right? People can say, well, they didn't buy – no. They could have gotten their next franchise quarterback in this draft. They opted to see if they can win with Eli because that's what they believe. So here we go. You know?
Here we go.
Let's win. Because nobody has a perfect everything around them. Nobody in this league does. Some people have a better running back. Some people have a better receiver. Some people have a better offensive line. Yeah. Some people have a better defense. But nobody has a perfect team around them.
Right.
You know? So.
And Eli's got the best weapons of his career.
Yeah.
If it ain't this year.
Yeah. You know, I understand, you know, people will say, well, the right side of the offensive line, you know, question marks on the defense. I get all that. But the fact of the matter is, this is the roster that Dave Gettleman put on the field, right? This is the roster they picked, right? They've cut players that from the previous regime, they've extended players. A player from the previous regime, but this is the 53 that they have. Well, from now until it's sort of like a year by year approach, right? So they're going to, this year we're going to see what happens. Mm-hmm. And then from the end of this year, we're going to see what decisions they make going forward. But I believe that the Giants think that Eli Manning can play for the next 3 years. And they think that when the time comes to find their next quarterback, they will do it. But at this point, this is their plan, and people can be shocked, but you know, that's their plan. You know, I don't agree with it.
I'm disappointed, not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's I think Eli will have a good year. But I think the opportunity of passing on a quarterback, it's a tough pill. And yeah. I think the Giants are more closer to having to look. I'll say this. I'll put it this way. The Giants are more closer to having to replace their starting quarterback than having their starting quarterback lead them to a Super Bowl victory.
Agree.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, we've spent a good amount of time on the quarterback situation. Running backs, nothing that surprised me. I mean, you had to figure that John Stewart was going to stick based on his relationship with Gettleman.
And the contract
and Gettleman's refusal to admit that it was just a bad deal. Yeah. So he's here. Happy to see Robert Martin stick and happy to see Shane Smith stick as fullback. Mm-hmm. You know, whether or not Wayne Gallman moves up and is the de facto number two come Sunday is yet to be seen, but we both know that he should be.
Yeah. I think another stunner was we talked so much about the Giants releasing their 2017 third-round pick, the Giants parting with Darian Thompson, their 2016 third-round pick. I thought, you know, part of me when I saw it throughout the summer when he got injured was a part of me was like, you know what, they're not rushing him because, you know, his roster spot is sort of not locked, but, they like his chances of making the roster. Mm-hmm. But, man, I was stunned. And the fact that they kept Sean Chandler, who was undrafted free agent, is another thing that's pretty telling, because I don't remember seeing much of him, you know, during the preseason.
Yeah.
So again, you know, that is interesting. But again, there was a lot of moves the Giants made, yesterday that pretty shocked a lot of people. But the one thing that I will point out is the Giants put in a league-high 6 claims yesterday. And they basically revamped or rebuilt or retooled, whichever word you want to use, their cornerback room. They have 3 new cornerbacks that they didn't have yesterday. So basically, what we already know, you know, is that their cornerback position is so weak that they had to work the waiver wire to not only get one corner, not 2. We're talking 3 new corners. So if they keep 6,
We spoke about it last week. It's, you know, throw shit at the wall and hope that something sticks.
Right. Exactly. And it's not just that. I mean, we are, let's say Eli Apple goes down or, you know, something happens to, I mean, who is their slot corner? Dante Dion, right? For example. I mean, we're talking a guy that was picked up, you know, on September 1st, you know, has to play right away. Yep. I mean, that's how depleted they are, cornerback position, that they had to, you know, fix their cornerback situation, you know, in the waiver wire. So that is a huge concern for me. That a team that's sort of win now, kind of has that win now approach, I don't see that. You know, I don't see them rebuild their cornerback situation or that position of importance during the cuts, you know, when the team cut to 53. But hey, you know, listen, again, that's their approach. That's how they want to do it. I don't necessarily disagree with the moves they made. I think you had to get new corners in there, but it's pretty telling how depleted they are if they had to do this on September 1st.
Yeah, but listen, these are things that we knew, right?
Right, of course.
I mean, we go back to some of the safety cuts in the secondary. Darian Thompson, again, like you, I was surprised, but not totally disappointed, right? This is a guy that was supposed to be a ball hawk. He was supposed to be the fixture in the secondary next to Landon Collins for years, either hurt or just disappointing in terms of his play. I'm not going to lose sleep over cutting Darian Thompson. Andrew Adams, I was a little bit disappointed in, but at the end of the day, you know, undrafted free agent, had one good season, not going to lose sleep over it. The cornerbacks, listen, these are things we knew. I mean, Eli Apple is your cornerback too. That is not the sign of a strong secondary. Janoris Jenkins goes down, you're fucked. You know, you got 3 undrafted, Michael Jordan, Antonio Hamilton, Cameron Moore, all these guys undrafted.
I know Hamilton. I looked into him. I believe Moore
was a 6th-round pick. I mean, it's just not a good situation. And, you know, they lack depth at major positions along the offensive line and the secondary. All it's going to take is one injury to completely derail this season, if it's not already starting to go off the tracks. You know, football's a rough sport. And people are like, oh, you know, injuries are an if. Injuries happen. Injuries happen to every team, at every position, every season. So, you know, it's just a matter of time. That's just the nature of the sport. It's rough, and you got to hope that everyone stays healthy. One guy on the defensive side of the ball I was very, very disappointed to see go, and apparently so was Damon Harrison, was Rob Thomas, former guest of the podcast, Rob Thomas. He looked awesome in preseason. Yeah. And someone's going to end up with a good one. He was.
Not, I'm not surprised by that. You know why? Because Dave Gettleman cut him in Carolina.
Oh, I mean, he's nothing if not consistent.
Yeah. So, you know, Gettleman cut him in Carolina. You know, as good as he looked, I agree. A little bit disappointed too, but not surprised. You know.
Yeah, I mean, they do have a lot of good defensive line depth. So,
what do you think about the Mario Edwards signing?
You know, I think a lot of people are excited because of his draft capital, former second-round pick. Even going back, and I watched some of his pro highlights. I watched some of his college highlights. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to be like an interior guy. I think he could fit the defensive end on a 3-4 defense. So I think he does fit talent-wise. You know, his speed doesn't flash. He had character concerns about his motivation in Oakland. It's nothing that I'm going to like go crazy for. I think it's a high upside claim. So, you know, in that sense, I'm excited. But to have as much depth as the Giants do, especially, you know, you got BJ Hill, Dalvin Tomlinson, then you got guys like Kareem Martin, Lorenzo Carter, Olivier Vernon, even Connor Barwin coming off the edge as pass rush. You know, there's just so much depth there that I'm not even really focused or worried about, you know, Edwards. So What are your thoughts on the claim?
Yeah, I agree. I think a part of me thinks that Edwards is sort of like a stopgap guy for Josh Morrow. And maybe if he plays well, maybe they part with Morrow. I mean, who knows? Again, I'm not really surprised. I mean, this is the making of a roster shift that's happening. You know, out with Jerry's guys and with Gettleman's guys. That's what's happening. I think a lot of people expected this to happen back in March. They were a little shocked that it was happening in September, but. Again, this is what happens when you have a changing of the guard like this. But they did grab another former Panther, Kalen Clay, I think his name was. That's a kick return, punt return specialist.
Yep. Fifth wide receiver on the depth chart.
We'll see how he can contribute. They parted with Hunter Sharp, who many people thought was going to be the kick returner. We'll see there. I know I saw some stuff of Clay, but you know we'll see how he can contribute. He definitely has connections to not only Gettleman, but also the Giants special team coach, who I looked up his name.
Wasn't it the wide receiver coach? Or maybe I'm mistaken.
I know it was a special team guy. The special teams coach. I'm going blank on him. Definitely not Tom Quinn.
No, definitely not Quinn.
He has connections to the Giants.
Tyke coaching. Tolbert?
That's the wide receiver coach. He could have some connection there. But I know with the special teams coach, he was in Carolina. McGaughey, there you go.
Yeah. And Russell Shepard, who also spent time with Gettleman in Carolina.
There you go. Yeah.
So it's Carolina North.
One position that I'm not really worried about is wide receiver and pass rushing and the running back.
Agree. Yeah. There's plenty of depth at those positions.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if something happens to Saquon Barkley, it's going to suck.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's going to suck. But, you know, you have, I think, a capable backup in Wayne Gallman.
But that's the thing. And I keep hating to go back to it. But it's like, if the Giants hadn't selected Saquon Barkley, we would all be gushing over how good Wayne Gallman has looked this preseason and how he's ready to be an RB1 in the NFL.
Right. Yeah. I mean, listen. I don't disagree. You know, we talked about it countless amount of times.
Literally countless.
But again, this goes to the belief that, you know, people in that building want to put out. So we'll see. Some stuff that came in just as we were recording.
Yeah. Well, also, Mark Herzlick gone.
Yes.
Finally.
Yeah.
I think Dave Gettleman was like, there can only be one cancer survivor on this roster, and it's going to be me, bud. See you later.
Yeah, only one feel-good story.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. I mean, Tay Davis had a good in special teams. He played pretty well. But again, this goes to the changing in the philosophy. New special teams coach. You know, you're going to see some new faces on special teams as well. But a couple things that came in as we were discussing. So the Giants are going to work out free agent quarterback Matt McGloin, who was with the Chiefs. So I don't think Alex Tanney's spot is as secured as we think.
Sure.
And then also former Ravens first-round pick wide receiver Breshad Perriman, who I did like in the pre-draft process. He is actually
Dude can't stay healthy.
He's visiting the Jets right now, and if he doesn't sign there, according to Ian Rappaport, the Giants and Bills are also potential visits. So he's sort of staying local.
Gotcha.
So we'll see if anything comes out of there. But one thing is for sure, I don't think that the 53-man roster is a very fluid situation.
Oh, yeah, it's far from set.
Yeah, and if you're on the back end, I think you can see stuff moving. The one thing I'll also say is that they kept three offensive tackles, Soldier, Flowers, Wheeler. I think they're waiting for after week one where veteran contracts are no longer guaranteed, and I think that they can make a move. I'll agree on that.
I thought it was weird they only kept three, and I don't really feel comfortable with Wheeler as my swing tackle.
No, and there's no way you can keep three tackles and four running backs.
Yeah, can't do it.
Another thing I'll add is on Mario Edwards, there were three waiver claims for him: Buffalo, Philly, and the Giants. Obviously, the Giants got him.
Gotcha. I think Buffalo just likes having guys named Mario on their team.
Yeah.
John Jerry. We got to talk John Jerry. You brought up the offensive line. John Jerry's out of here finally.
Yeah. I mean, I thought he actually had a good preseason. But again, this goes to out with the old regime people and in with the new ones. So we'll see. I think they did save about $1 million in cap space.
Yeah, about $1 million and change.
Yeah, we'll see if they – again, I think that they will bring in another tackle after week one, maybe even before. Who knows? We'll see. But Austin Howard's a name that I really think that they should consider, a veteran guy who – not great, but again, if we're talking September, Labor Day, you know, that's not a bad option. And considering there's a lot of question marks on the right side of the offensive line, maybe he's an upgrade over Ereck Flowers. So that's just something I'm going to throw out there.
Perfect. Any other positions you're trying to touch on?
No, I think we covered all our...
Covered most of our bases. Evan Brown sticking as the backup center. He played well in preseason. I'm trying to think what else. Curtis Riley, Sean Chandler, Michael Thomas. Not a lot of safety depth. Don't love to see that. And, you know, inside linebacker B.J. Goodson and Ray Armstrong. Both guys I like a lot. And, you know, you mentioned Tay Davis earlier. But outside of that, I don't got much else.
Yeah.
All right. So there it is. That was the bonus episode, the roster cuts. Ethan and Weiss will be back with you guys tomorrow. Wednesday, because this episode we're recording Monday. It's going up Monday. So we'll be back with you guys Wednesday to preview the season opener. Go over. Go over our season predictions, as well as give you some gambling picks for week one.
Follow me, degenerate gamblers.
For all you degenerates, I'm here to make you money. Follow me on Twitter at EthanGSN. Follow YSNYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. We'll talk to you guys on Wednesday.
Peace.